بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. In the name of Allah, the Most Merciful, the One who bestows mercy, indeed all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds, and may peace and blessings be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon his family, companions, and all those who follow the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam until Yawm al-Qiyamah. In this lesson, we come to the eighth matter which invalidates a person's Islam. And the author, rahimullah, he said, الثامن, eighth, مظاهرة المشركين, supporting, aiding, or helping the mushrikeen. وَمُعَاوَنَتِهِمْ عَلَى الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَمُعَاوَنَتُهُمْ عَلَى الْمُسْلِمِينَ, and also aiding them over the Muslims. وَالدَّلِيلُ قَوْلُ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى, and the evidence for this is the saying of Allah, وَمَنْ يَتَوَلَّهُمْ مِنْكُمْ فَإِنَّهُ مِنْهُمْ, whoever amongst you supports or aids them, verily he is from them. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمَ الظَّالِمِينَ, verily Allah does not guide a people who are oppressors. So the eighth matter which the author rahimullah mentions, which invalidates a person's Islam, is mudaharatul mushrikeen, is sporting and aiding the people of ash-shirk, either non-Muslims amongst the mushrikeen. Wa mu'awanatuhum 'ala al-muslimin, and also aiding them over the Muslims. And the evidence for this is the saying of Allah, وَمَنْ يَتَوَلَّهُمْ مِنْكُمْ, that whoever amongst you, O Muslims, aids them, i.e. the kuffar and the mushrikun, فَإِنَّهُ مِنْهُمْ, then he is also from them. So this issue, it is called مُوَالَةُ الْمُشْرِكِينَ, مُوَالَةُ الْكُفَّارِ, and it comes under a general principle, which is الْحُبْ فِي اللَّهِ وَالْبُغْضْ فِي اللَّهِ, loving and hating for the sake of Allah. And also it is called Al-Wala Wal-Bara. And Al-Wala means associating with people for the sake of Allah, and Al-Bara means disassociating for the sake of Allah. So this issue, Mudaharatul Mushrikeen or Muwalatul Mushrikeen or Mu'awanatul Mushrikeen, which means aiding and supporting, this is a branch of the more general principle, which is Al-Wala Wal-Bara, or Al-Hub Wal-Bughd Fillah, loving and hating for the sake of Allah, associating and disassociating for the sake of Allah. And this principle has been established in many ayat of the Quran and hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So Tawheed necessitates love and hate. Tawheed necessitates association and disassociation. So from the rights of La ilaha illallah is that you love the people of La ilaha illallah, and also you hate those people who oppose La ilaha illallah. And also from the rights of La ilaha illallah is you associate and you align yourself with the people of La ilaha illallah, and also you disassociate yourself from those people who oppose La ilaha illallah. And it goes back down to the love or the hatred which is found in the heart of a Muslim towards others. And as I mentioned, this has been established in a number of ayat and ahadith. So for example, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said in the hadith in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim, ثَلَاثٌ مَنْ كُنَّ فِيهِ وَجَدَ بِهِنَّ حَلَاوَةَ الْإِيمَانِ, the three qualities, if they are found in a person, he will find the sweetness of Iman. And one of them, or the second of the three, the Prophet mentioned, أَنْ يُحِبُّ الْمَرْأَ لَا يُحِبُّهُ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ, that a person loves another person, but only loves him for the sake of Allah. Also, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said in the hadith in Sunan Abi Dawood, مَنْ أَحَبَّ لِلَّهِ, whoever loves for the sake of Allah, وَأَبْغَضَ لِلَّهِ, and hates for the sake of Allah, وَأَعْطَى لِلَّهِ, and gives for the sake of Allah, وَمَنَعَ لِلَّهِ, and prevents for the sake of Allah, فَقَدْ اسْتَكْمَلَ الْإِيمَانِ Then he has perfected his iman. Also the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَفْضَلُ الْإِيمَانِ أَن تُحِبَّ لِلَّهِ وَتَبْغَضَ لِلَّهِ That the best of iman, the most complete of iman is that you love for the sake of Allah and you hate for the sake of Allah. So this is the general principle. That as Muslims and as people of Tawheed, we love the people of Islam and the people of Tawheed. And therefore, we hate the people of Kufr and the people of Ash-Shirk. And as people of Tawheed and Islam, we align ourselves with the people of Islam and Tawheed, and we disassociate ourselves from the people of Shirk and the people of Al-Kufr. And this is the meaning of Al-Hub wal-Bughd lillah, loving for the sake of Allah and hating for the sake of Allah. Meaning, people love other people for various reasons. So one reason somebody might love another person is friendship. Two people, they've been friends with each other for a long time and therefore they love each other. Or for example, people's nature and people's natural character might just mix, it might go with each other. They are able to socialize easily. They share personal interests and therefore they have some affection for each other. Or it may be family due to blood and therefore there is mutual affection and love between each other. Or it may be, for example, the love for a particular sport or a particular team or a particular business or something like this. And then this causes people to come together, to associate, to align, to love and have affection for each other. The meaning of this hadith and this principle is that this person, you're not loving him because his nature or his temperament or his character necessarily matches with yours. Or that you've known him for a long time or you have a long old friendship. Or that you have any particular interests, whether it's business or education or sport or whatever it is. Rather, the only reason why you're loving this person is because he has in him something which pleases Allah. And therefore, if something pleases Allah, then it should also please you. So, we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's pleased with the people of At-Tawheed and the people of the Sunnah. And He loves the people of Tawheed and He loves the people of Sunnah. And therefore, a part of your Tawheed is loving what Allah loves and being pleased with what Allah is pleased with. So if Allah is pleased with the people of Tawheed, then you also are pleased with the people of Tawheed. If Allah loves the people of Tawheed, then you also love the people of At-Tawheed. And this is the meaning of Al-Hub Lillah, loving for the sake of Allah. Meaning not loving for the sake of any dunya reason or friendship or socializing or that you have a natural bond with each other or any business. Rather, it is because of Iman, Taqwa, Tawheed. These characteristics are beloved to Allah and therefore they are beloved to you as well. And the opposite is also true. So for example, the celebration Christmas, it is a festival which is based upon the birth of Christ, as they say, or the birth of Jesus. And they claim that Jesus is the son of Allah subhanallahi amma yushrikun. Is Allah pleased with this celebration? Does Allah love this celebration? No. Rather, He hates this celebration. Allah is angered with this festival and this celebration. And also those people who partake in this celebration, then Allah is also angry with them. So a part of our Tawheed is hating that which Allah hates and being angry with that which Allah is angry over. So we don't love, for example, Christmas. And we don't love those people who celebrate Christmas. Rather, we're displeased with it and we hate it and we hate the people because Allah hates it and hates the people. So this is from the asl of At-Tawheed. This is from the core underlying principles of At-Tawheed. Al-Hub wal-Bughd lillah. Al-Wala wal-Bara lillah. As for a person who says, yes, I believe in La ilaha illallah and I love the people of La ilaha illallah, but I don't hate kufr. I don't hate shirk. I don't hate for a son to be ascribed to Allah. I don't hate the celebrations like Christmas and Easter, in which it comes from polytheism and paganism. And I don't hate those people who partake in these celebrations, then this person is deficient in his Tawheed. This person is deficient in his Tawheed and lacking in his Iman. And the author, Rahimullah, he mentioned one example or one branch of al-wala wal-bara, and that is al-mudahara. As I mentioned, mudahara, it means aiding and supporting. So aiding and supporting a non-Muslim and helping a non-Muslim over a Muslim, this is one branch of al-wala wal-bara. Otherwise, this supporting and this associating or this disassociating, it can take place in the heart, and it can take place upon the tongue, and it can take place upon the limbs. And it can take place upon the tongue without it being there in the heart, or take place upon the limbs without it being in the heart. So for example, a person showing mawala for the kuffar in the heart is when somebody loves their religion and loves their shirk and validates their actions. So this is aiding them and supporting them in your heart. And also it can be upon the tongue. For example, a person praising the non-Muslims over the Muslims. Even if he doesn't love them in their heart, but he praises them upon the tongue, this is a type of mawala. But the hukam, the ruling, differs as to the one who loves them in their heart. And also, for example, the actions. So a person may hate them in the heart, and yet at the same time supports them and aids them over the Muslims with their limbs, let's say for a worldly reason, even though he hates it in his heart. So there are different types of al-wala wal-bara, and the author mentioned one type, which is al-mudahara and al-mu'awana, I physically helping and aiding the mushrikun over the Muslims. And he mentioned the ayah as an evidence, in which Allah said, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَتَّخِذُوا الْيَهُودَ وَالنَّصَارَ أَوْلِيَاءَ. O people of Iman, do not take the Yahud and the Nasara to be your awliya. And the meaning of awliya is allies and friends, supporters, protectors, guardians. All of this comes under the word awliya. And then Allah said, بَعْضُهُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ بَعْضٍ, that the kuffar, they are only allies to each other. The kuffar are only supporters of each other. Then Allah said, وَمَنْ يَتَوَلَّهُمْ مِنْكُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ مِنْهُمْ, that whoever shows them mawala, yatawalla, whoever shows them tawalli and mawala, support and aid, then verily he is from them. He is also from the mushrikun. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمَ الظَّالِمِينَ. Allah does not help, or Allah does not guide the people of al-dhulm. And Sheikh Salih Fawzan, Hafizullah, he mentions different types of mudahara, different types of aiding and supporting, and the ruling of each one. So the first type, he said, mudaharatuhum ala al-muslimina ma'a mahabbati ma hum alayhi min al-kufri wal-shirki wal-dalal, is for a Muslim to support and aid the non-Muslims over the Muslims whilst loving the kufr which they have and the shirk which they have and the misguidance which they have. So this Muslim, he physically aids the non-Muslims over the Muslims by giving them money, for example, to fight against the Muslims, or by supporting them physically with soldiers, with technology, with weaponry against the Muslims. And why does he do this? Because in his heart, he has love for the kufr which they are upon or the shirk which they are upon. And this, no doubt, it is kufrun akbar. So this is major disbelief, and it necessitates that a person leaves the fold of Islam. When a person aids them physically, along with a love in the heart. And then the second type is when a Muslim aids and supports the non-Muslims over the Muslims, but he doesn't love them in his heart. Rather, he is compelled to do so. And he is compelled to do so because he chose to remain with them. And this is something which happened at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that when Allah ordered the Muslims to move from Mecca and make hijrah to Al-Madinah, some of the Muslims, they remained behind in Mecca. And the only reason that they remained behind in Mecca is because their houses were there, their property, maybe some of their family members, maybe some of their wealth, their camels, their cattle, it remained there. So because of a dunya reason, they remained behind. However, when they remained behind, when the Battle of Badr took place, then the Quraysh forced them to come out and go with them to go fight the Muslims. And this hadith is in Sahih Bukhari, and it is the narration of Ibn Abbas. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He rebuked these Muslims. And He said, Allah said in the Quran, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ تَوَفَّاهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ They're verily those people to whom the angels come with death. ظَالِمِي أَنفُسِهِمْ And they have oppressed themselves. Meaning they have oppressed themselves by remaining behind, and now they are being forced to take part in the Battle of Badr against the Muslims, or to support the Mushrikeen against the Muslims. قَالُوا فِيمَ كُنْتُمْ And it is said to them, the angel said to them, where were you? Meaning, which party are you with? Were you with the Muslims or were you with the non-Muslims? And they say, قَالُوا كُنَّا مُسْتَضَعَفِينَ فِي الْأَرْضِ They say, verily, we were weak upon the earth. Then Allah said, قَالُوا أَلَمْ تَكُنْ أَرْضُ اللَّهِ وَاسِعَةً Then the angels will say to them, was the earth not spacious for you? Meaning, you yourselves, you chose to remain behind in Mecca due to worldly reasons, because of your wealth or your property, you didn't want to make hijrah. And now, because you chose to remain behind, now the kuffar are forcing you to go take part in the Battle of Badr. So this wasn't a valid excuse. And then, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَأُولَيْكَ مَأْوَاهُمْ جَهَنَّمْ وَسَاءَتْ مَصِيرًا That for those people, their abode is the fine how even evil an abode. Then Allah said, إِلَّا الْمُسْتَضَعَفِينَ Except for the weak people, the truly weak people. مِنَ الرِّجَالِ وَالنِّسَاءِ وَالْوِلْدَانِ From the men and the women and the poor, for them they have an excuse. So if a person physically wasn't able to make hijrah and remained behind in a non-Muslim country, and then he was compelled to fight against the Muslims, then this person is forgiven, as long as he hates it in the heart. As for a person who had the opportunity to make hijrah, but didn't do so for a worldly reason, and then the non-Muslims forced that person to support them over the non-Muslims, then they enter into this punishment. However, this isn't Kufrun Akbar. So just because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala threatens with the fire of the punishment of the fire, it doesn't necessitate that it is kufrun akbar. So this is the second type of mudahara, that a person doesn't love their religion and actually loves Islam and the people of Islam, but he chose to remain behind because of a dunya reason, and now they are forcing him to go out and fight against the Muslims. This is a major sin and it is a great danger. However, it isn't kufrun akbar. And then the third type is a person who aids the Muslims over the non-Muslims over the Muslims with a choice. Meaning he's voluntarily, out of his own choice, he's aiding the non-Muslims over the Muslims, but without a love for their religion. So it could be because that they've offered him a reward, that if you aid us against a neighboring country, then we will give you such a reward. Or for example, they've threatened him, or they've bribed him, or they've placed sanctions on the country, or any other worldly reason, then this is also a major sin. However, it isn't kufr. Why is it not kufr? Because he didn't do this action because he was loving kufr over Islam. Rather, it was only a worldly reason. And then the fourth type is a person who aids and supports non-Muslims over other non-Muslims. And the other non-Muslims, there's a treaty between the Muslims and between them. So for example, the leader of a Muslim country has a treaty of peace with a non-Muslim country. And then a second non-Muslim country comes and asks his support and his aid against that non-Muslim country between whom there's a peace treaty. Again, it may be for a worldly reason. And then this Muslim helps them. This is also haram. Because in Islam, it isn't allowed for a person to break the treaties and the alliances, even if it is with the non-Muslims. And these people, they are called mu'ahadun, i.e. those non-Muslims, between you and them there is a treaty of peace, safety and security. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, man qatala mu'ahadan lam yarih ra'ihat al-jannah, that whoever kills a non-Muslim between whom there is ahd, a treaty, a contract, a peace treaty, he will never smell the fragrance of paradise. He will never smell the fragrance of paradise. And also a dhimmi, i.e. a non-Muslim who is living under the protection of the Muslim state. Like for example, nowadays in the Muslim countries, the Muslim governments, there are non-Muslims who are living in those countries, whether they are residents of the country or whether they are working there. When they enter into that country, they enter with a visa, with a guarantee of safety. So whoever kills any one of them, لَمْ يَرِحْ رَائِحَةَ الْجَنَّةِ, he will never smell the fragrance of paradise. And the hadith is in Sahih al-Bukhari. So this is the fourth type. And then the fifth type is when a person, when a Muslim loves the non-Muslims over the Muslims, but doesn't physically aid them. So inside him, he has a love and affection and alliance for the non-Muslims over the Muslims, but he doesn't support them physically. This person also, iman is negated from his heart because he loves them for the sake of their religion. And as I mentioned, this matter, loving and hating for the sake of Allah, in many ayat in the Quran, also a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah said in Surah Al-Mujadala, لا تجد قوما يؤمنون بالله واليوم الآخر يوادون من حاد الله ورسوله. He said, you will never find a group of people who have iman in Allah and the final day, يوادون, and they have mawadda, they have love and affection for those people who are enemies to Allah and His Messenger. ولو كانوا آباءهم, even if they are their own fathers, أو أبناءهم, or their own sons, or ikhwanahum, or their own brothers, or ashiratahum, or their own relatives. Ulaika kataba fi qulubihim al-iman. Those people are the ones whose Allah has written iman in their hearts. And also Allah said regarding Ibrahim alayhi salam and his people, idh qalu liqawmihim, when they said to their people, inna bura'a'u minkum, that we free ourselves from you, we disassociate ourselves from you and the kufr which you are doing. So this is al-wala wal-bara, inna bura'a, we are free and far away from you and that which you do. And many other ayat. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu la tattakhidhu aduwwi wa aduwwakum awliya tulquna ilayhim bil mawadda wa qad kafaru bima ja'akum min al-haq. Allah said in the Quran, O people of iman, do not take my enemies and your enemies, either enemies of at-tawheed, do not take them as your awliya, as your supporters, friends and protectors. تُلْقُونَ إِلَيْهِمْ بِالْمَوَدَّةِ, you show them mawadda, and mawadda is muhabba, love and affection. وَقَدْ كَفَرُوا بِمَا جَاءَكُمْ الْحَقِّ, and they have rejected and disbelieved in the truth which has come to you. So the point is that a Muslim has to love for the sake of Allah and has to also hate for the sake of Allah. Now under this principle, there are different rulings. So the first ruling is it allowed for a Muslim to be married to a non-Muslim? The rulings differ. So first of all, it isn't allowed for a Muslim woman to be married to a non-Muslim man. Whether that non-Muslim is Yahudi, Nasrani, Mushrik, Hindu or any other religion, it isn't permitted for a Muslim woman to be married to a non-Muslim man. And Allah said in the Quran, Surah Al-Baqarah, وَلَا تُنْكِحُ الْمُشْرِكِينَ حَتَّى يُؤْمِنُوا, and do not marry off, meaning do not marry off your daughters and your women to the mushrikeen men, حَتَّى يُؤْمِنُوا, until they have iman. وَلَا عَبْدٌ مُؤْمِنٌ خَيْرٌ مِّن مُشْرِكٍ وَلَوْ أَعْجَبَكُمْ, and a person of iman is better than a person of shirk, either kuffar, even if you are amazed by that person. So it isn't allowed for a Muslim woman to be married to any non-Muslim man. As for the Muslim man marrying a non-Muslim woman, this isn't allowed if the non-Muslim woman is upon the religion of a shirk and kufr. Meaning, if the woman is a Jew or a Christian, Yahudi or Nasrani, then it is permitted with further conditions. However, if she was, for example, an atheist or a Hindu or a Buddhist or a Sikh or any other religion which contains shirk, not from Ahlul Kitab, then it isn't permitted. But it is permitted for a Muslim man to marry a woman who is Kitabiyya, i.e. from Ahlul Kitab, meaning from Al-Yahud wa Nasara. And the second condition is that she has to be Afifa. And the meaning of Afifa is she has to be chaste, i.e. not a woman who goes out with other men or who is known for immorality and immodesty or falls into zina and has relationships and things like this. So if the woman, she is Yahudiya or Nasraniya, and she is Afifa and she is chaste, then it is permitted for a Muslim man to marry her. And this is mentioned in the Quran. Allah said, وَطَعَامُكُمْ حِلٌّ لَهُمْ وَالْمُحْسَنَاتُ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنَاتِ وَالْمُحْسَنَاتُ مِنَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابِ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ. That their food is permitted for you, meaning the meat of the Jews and the Christians is permitted for you. And also the chaste women from the believers are permitted for you, and the chaste women from those who were given the Kitab, the book, either Jews and the Christians, they are also permitted for you. However, in Islam, we have to differentiate between something which is called a azima and something which is called a rukhsa. So azima is something which Allah tells you to, orders you to do, encourages you to do. And this is called azima. And then there's a second matter which is called a rukhsa. And rukhsa is something which is permitted for you. Meaning it's not necessarily encouraged or commanded, but it is something which is permitted. So eating the meat of the Muslims, this is the azima. This is what is encouraged. And this is what is ordered. And eating the meat of Ahlul Kitab is a rukhsa. It is an allowance that is there in the Sharia to make it easy for you. But if you have a place, let's say a restaurant or a butcher of the Muslims and then one of the Christians, the azima is that you go to the Muslims and you eat from the Muslims. However, there is an allowance, a secondary allowance to eat from the Yahudi and the Nasrani if we do know that he is Nasrani or Yahudi. And similarly when it comes to marriage. So the azima, the encouragement and the command and the order is for you to marry righteous believing women. However, there is a rukhsa, there is a secondary allowance for you to marry a kitabiyya, a woman from the Jews and the Christians. So these are the conditions. Now a person might say, how is it permitted for me to marry a woman who is kitabiyya, and at the same time I'm not allowed to love the people of kufr or to aid the people of kufr or to support the people of kufr, and she's my wife? And obviously between husband and wife there's support and there's aid, there's affection, there's love, and so on and so forth. And this is because there are different types of love, there are different types of muhabba. So the love which exists between the spouses, or between, for example, a mother who is a Muslim and a child who is a non-Muslim, this is mahabba tabi'iyya. This is natural love. And this natural love, a person doesn't have a control over. So if you have a mother who is a Muslim, and let's say the child is a non-Muslim, she can still say to him that, I love you. And he says that, I also love you. Or between the husband and the wife. But this is the natural type of love, something which Allah has placed in the hearts. And a person isn't able to control this. A mother can't just hate her child, even if the child is upon al-kufr. Because this love, this maternal love, is something which Allah has placed in the heart. And also between husband and wife, even if one was a Muslim and the other one was a kitabiyya, Yahudiya or Nasraniya, a natural love and affection will occur. And this is tabi'iyya. The love which is not allowed is the love which is a religious type of love. So a person, let's say his mother is a non-Muslim, he loves her with the love which is natural And at the same time, he hates her for the sake of Allah with the hatred which is religious. So he loves her because she is his mother. And this is something which is natural. He cares for her and he looks out for her because she is his mother and they have blood between them. At the same time, he hates the fact that she does shirk and he hates the fact that she is upon kufr and he hates the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also hates her. So on account of the anger of Allah, he also hates her. So it's possible for a person to have love and hatred at the same time in his heart for the same person. That the love is tabi'i, the natural type of love, the human type of love. And as for the hatred, then it is religious and for the sake of Allah. So this is the first issue. The second issue is that when we say al-bughd lillah, hating for the sake of Allah, we're using the English word hating. And this is because the closest translation of bughd is hatred. But what we don't mean personal hatred. Meaning we are not hating this non-Muslim for any personal reason. Rather, we are hating that non-Muslim on account of the kufr and the shirk that the person has within them. That because Allah is angry with the actions of shirk, therefore we are angry with the actions of shirk and those people who are doing the action of shirk. We don't like those people who anger Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And because this hatred isn't personal, therefore we're not allowed to oppress the non-Muslims. So this is also something that we have to understand very carefully. We have to understand that yes, we say al-bughd lillah, hatred for the sake of Allah, but we don't mean hatred which is understood in the English language. That when you hate somebody, you want to destroy them, you want to personally oppress them, you want to take away their rights. No. In Islam, the hatred is there on account of at-tawheed and al-Islam. But in terms of dealing with that person, we show them care and concern, and we show them support, and we can help them in the matters of the dunya, and we can we fulfill their rights, and we are just and fair and so on and so forth. As long as they are not fighting the Muslims, then we are not allowed to help them or show them support. And Allah said in the Quran, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَنْهَاكُمْ عَنِ الَّذِينَ لَمْ يُقَاتِلُوكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ وَلَمْ يُخْرِجُوكُمْ مِنْ دِيَارِكُمْ. Allah said in the Quran that Allah does not forbid you from those people who do not fight you over your religion. And neither have they exiled you from your lands, and tabarruhum, that you show them kindness. وَتُقْسِطُوا إِلَيْهِمْ, and you show them justice. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُقْسِطِينَ, verily Allah loves the people of justice. So Allah said in this ayah that those people who don't fight you over your religion, and neither have they exiled you from your lands, Allah does not prevent you, and tabarruhum, that you show them kindness and goodness, and that you show them justice. And for this reason, the ulama, Shaykh Ibn Baz rahimullah, he was asked about giving charity to the non-Muslim charities. Is this allowed or not? And as Shaykh Ibn Baz rahimullah said, that it is permitted. As long as this charity isn't going to use your wealth against the Muslims or exiling you from your lands, then you're allowed to give them charity. And this comes under the saying, antabarruhum, they show them goodness. So any type of goodness, it is allowed. You have a neighbor, for example, and you help him with his shopping. This is allowed. At the same time, you have al-bughd. You have hatred for him on account of the kufr which he's upon. So you may show him kindness, and you may show him a level of affection and concern, but at the same time, you have the hatred in your heart, which is on account of the shirk and the kufr which this person is doing. And also, if a non-Muslim does good to you, then you repay the goodness. A non-Muslim gives you a gift which isn't linked to, for example, Christmas or Easter, anything like this, you can give another gift, you can give a gift back. And this is called al-mukafa'a. Mukafa'a means replying with the same type of goodness. Also, from the matters which are linked to al-hub wal-bughd lillah, that even though you may have in your heart a hatred or bughd for the people of kufr and shirk, however, at the same time, it is permitted for you to buy and sell from them. and to have contracts with them, and to employ them or to be employed by them. All of this is permitted. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, before he died, he had a shield which was pawned or mortgaged with a Yahudi. And also when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abu Bakr, when they made hijrah from Mecca to Al-Madinah, they hired Ibn al-Uraiqit. And Ibn al-Uraiqit was the person who showed them the direction or the way to Al-Madinah. And he was a mushrik. And yet the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he still employed him and he gave him some money. So this is something which is permitted. Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu, when he went on a journey with some of the companions, and he came to a tribe, and these tribe were non-Muslims, and the leader of the tribe had been bitten by a snake or a scorpion. And Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu, he did a ruqya upon the non-Muslim with Surah Al-Fatiha, even though he is a non-Muslim. So, and this is something which was known. Umar radiallahu anhu had a worker who was a non-Muslim and others. So this is something which is also permitted. And also, it is permitted for us to learn from the non-Muslims in something that they are proficient in. So it could even be on a military level, or for example at a university, or bringing a non-Muslim teacher to a Muslim country to teach the Muslims regarding something which they are proficient over, or the science which only they have with them. This is also something which is allowed. And then the final matter is when it comes to showing obedience to the parents. So if a person's parents, mother or father, or both of them are non-Muslims, kuffar, people of shirk, if they are bowing down to the idols, this doesn't prevent a Muslim from showing them obedience in every matter except a shirk. So anything which they want from you in terms of the dunya, a person helps them. Only when it comes to shirk and kufr, it is not allowed. So if the parent said, for example, give me a lift to the church, this is not allowed. Why? Because then you are aiding them upon their kufr and shirk. But anything else besides this, it is permitted. And Allah said in the Quran, وَإِن جَاهَدَاكَ أَن تُشْرِكَ بِمَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا. That if both of them force you to commit acts of shirk for which you have no right, then do not obey them. And then he said in the next ayah, وَصَاحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. However, live with them in the dunya in a good way. So look, in this ayah, the first part of the ayah, Allah says that these people, your parents, they are forcing you upon shirk, and they are forcing kufr upon you. Do not obey them. In the next ayah, however, live with them in a good way, even though they are forcing shirk upon you. So you don't obey them in the shirk, but at the same time, you live with them in a good manner. And the ulama, they mention that contemplate the wording of this ayah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا فَإِنْ جَاهَدَاكَ. If they force you to do acts of shirk, he said, فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا. Do not show them obedience. Allah did not say disobey them. Rather, he said, do not show them obedience. And there's a difference. So what this means is that don't show them complete disobedience. Just don't obey them in that thing that they are forcing you upon. But apart from this, aside from this, then live with them in a good way. And if this is the command with regards to parents who are mushrikun and they are forcing shirk upon you, that you still have to show them obedience, then how about parents who are Muslims and people of Tawheed and people of Taqwa and people of Iman, like our parents who pray in this masjid and the other masajid, then of course they have a much greater right upon us. If Allah told us to obey parents who are forcing shirk upon you, meaning they don't believe in Allah, they don't believe in the Prophet, they don't believe in Jannah and Jahannam, on top of this, they are worshipping Isa, they are worshipping idols, they are worshipping stones. On top of this, they are enemies to Islam. On top of this, they are forcing shirk upon you. And then Allah says, don't obey them in the shirk, but aside from that, live with them in a good manner. So if this is regarding them, then how about our fathers and mothers who are people of Tawheed and people of Iman and righteousness? No doubt they have a greater right
upon us. And we finish with this. هذا والله أعلم وصلى الله على نبينا وسلم.